In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We hear things like this in the Scripture several times. The Lord has said this to various people. So obviously, what preceded there before He said this must have been their faith. Their faith being shown to Him. So what was it in this one leper, out of ten, that made the Lord say that His faith made him whole? Well, leprosy is a disease. It's now with modern antibiotics, it isn't as common in advanced countries, but still, in places in the world, it is common. And it consists of the eating away of flesh because of bacterial infection. The people of that time equated leprosy with uncleanness. And the Scripture has many provisions in the Old Testament for the cleansing of lepers. It was considered a sign of sin if you were a leper. And indeed, we are lepers, just like this leper, because we have sin that makes us unclean. Now, we don't have the whiteness of leprosy on our flesh. Instead, we have the darkness of leprosy in our souls. So this is what leprosy signifies. When you see leprosy in the Scripture, you must think of its spiritual meaning as well as its physical meaning. And it equates with sin. But more than sin, uncleanness. Let's be honest with ourselves. We're not totally clean people. We don't always think in a clean way, talk in a clean way, act in a clean way. Purity is a difficult thing to obtain, but it is the most blessed thing, because God is pure. The Scriptures say, to the pure all things are pure. Well, since we don't see all the pure things in the world, we don't see the angels that are with us now. We must not be pure. So we must also think that we share in this leprosy. So all these ten lepers were unclean in society and represent sin. And so the Lord tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. And there's a ritual washing that He was telling them that they would need to do. It's very complicated, and it's in the Old Testament. It's really quite complex. And that's what they were supposed to do. Well, on the way to have the washing, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now, they were still to go get the washing. But one leper recognized that he had been cleansed. And it had been by Jesus Christ. It wasn't just by happenstance. And so he, rejoicing, went to give thanks to God. And this is why the Lord said that His faith made him whole. Everyone was cured of the leprosy, but only one person was cured of uncleanness. One person was cured of that thing in us that makes us sin. This man was set free from that. Now, we're set free from it too. Okay? But we still sin. So, just being set free doesn't mean we become free. Because we can always go back to our slavery. We can go back to our passions. All ten had the opportunity, but only one came to God. And he was actually a Samaritan. And that's a significant fact, because the Samaritans were unclean whether they had leprosy or not. So this man was a total outcast in this land and was considered to be unredeemable. And yet, he was redeemed. And he recognized he was redeemed. And he went to give the Lord thanks. Now, with some people, it's easy. It's part of their personality just to be thankful. And to recognize when things are done and for them. And they just are thankful for it. With some of us, I think with most of us, that doesn't come as easy. Because of our distraction, because of our laziness, because of our addiction to things, we don't recognize when good is done for us, whether it be by God or by others. And Therefore, we don't go back to give thanks. So, this man's faith was not only in giving thanks to God, but it was in having the disposition that he would recognize what God had done for him. Now, that doesn't come easy to me. It's sort of like math. In the beginning of college, I'd fooled around in high school. I barely knew how to do algebra. And it was a rude awakening. And it was hard. So every day, literally every day, do several hours of homework every day that first semester. And you know what? I'm really good at algebra now. But it didn't come easy. I think that's the way it is with having a thankful spirit. Because the things that eat away from a thankful spirit, the things that make us not thankful, are not obvious to us. But some of the things are laziness, our addiction to various sins and passions, indulgence, distraction. All that keeps us from being thankful. So really what the Lord was saying, he wasn't praising that the man came to thank him. He was praising that the man had such a faith that would recognize that he was healed and should thank him. So just giving people thanks is not showing faith. It's what is in our heart that makes us understand that we should thank someone. And really, gratitude is one of the greatest of the virtues because it really causes us to do great things. If you have gratitude towards someone, you'll do anything for them. You'll help them in every way possible, even to the laying down of your life. We should have that kind of gratitude to Jesus Christ because we are cleansed lepers. Now, if you don't feel that kind of gratitude every day, then you're going to have to work at it. To be honest with you, it's not all that deeply mystical. It's like algebra. You got to work at it. You've got to pray. You've got to fast. You've got to struggle against the things in your heart that make it dark. And you should see these things. You should feel these things. You should know that when a certain person walks in the room, there's a darkening in your heart. That tells you that you've got to do something about that because that is impeding your prayer and impeding everything in your life. Everything. You have to recognize so that you can have an open spirit to God. This leper, this Samaritan, had that spirit. And he just recognized God had healed him. What a glorious thing. And of course he wanted to go thank him. Well, we should have that spirit too. But oftentimes we do not. And it's because of all the things, all that noise inside of us that churns up. And all that dust and all that dirt and all that mud. It gets all churned up in the dirty water that is our soul. And that's why we don't recognize what God has done. You know, today, the Holy Eucharist will be served. A banquet heavily laden, a table heavily laden for us. Do we recognize this? Do we feel this deeply in our soul? Very seldom, right? Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't partake of the Holy Mysteries, but we should do everything we can so that we will have this kind of thanksgiving in our heart. If you're addicted to sin, you won't have thanksgiving in your heart. If you're distracted, if you have bad priorities, if you don't fast, it will be very difficult for you to develop thanksgiving. So when the Lord was saying to the man, your faith has made you whole, he saw inside his heart and saw the kind of person he was. That's the kind of person we need to be. Person who recognizes that we are unclean and God helps us to be clean. We all know being a Christian means God helps us to cleanse ourselves and to become holy because we can't know God who is holy without becoming holy. And we should feel a sense of great gratitude. I hope that, you know, some of us are no longer that young anymore. I hope that we can recognize there are things in our life that we used to do that we don't do anymore and think, glory to God, that it looks like I'm past that one. Not because of anything I did, but because God helped me. I hope you have things like that in your life. And I hope you occasionally reflect on them. And even if you don't reflect on them consciously, that they're part of your being, thinking that you're like that man who owed 10,000 talents and the Lord forgave you the debt. But unlike the one in the gospel who forgot who he was after he went away from his Lord, you remember. And remember, God has forgiven me so much and he helps me with so much. And life really is sweet and beautiful if it is lived with holiness. It's very bitter if it's lived without holiness. But with holiness, there is a sweetness to life that cannot be described. It can only be experienced. This is what God wants to give us. Now, I tell you, if you don't feel this sweetness and holiness very often, that's just a sign that there's noise inside of you. There's just stuff going on. Dirty stuff. Unclean stuff. Because, take as an example my patron. St. Seraphim was always full of joy. He greeted everyone as my joy. All the time, he said Christ is risen to everyone, no matter what time of year it was. He treated anybody, from the lowest peasant to the Tsar of Russia, the same. And loved them completely and simply. Why? Because he was pure. He had joy and thanksgiving in his heart, but it took a long time to get it all. Now, if you read his life, he was very holy even from the beginning. Some people just are fortunate to have a personality that is inclined towards thanksgiving. Others, you know, I mean, there's people who are inclined to see the dark side. Some people are inclined to see the light side. Those are just personality types. If you have a personality that sees more darkness, that's a little more morose, you just have to work a little harder. But the person who sees things more, the bright side of things, that doesn't mean that they have any more faith. That's just their personality. Really, you have to be able to look inside your heart, every one of us, and you have to see that there is darkness. And that God is helping you replace that darkness with light. And if you don't see that and feel that every day, then there's something wrong. Because we should all be like this leper that feels that the Lord is cleansing us. I know we have bad days when we do bad stuff and we're out of sorts and all that stuff. That's just part of being a human, a fallen human being. But there has to be something in your heart, brothers and sisters, that just says, glory be to God, that God is helping me and cleansing me. You have to cultivate that feeling. It takes a lot of work to cultivate that feeling. It doesn't come naturally. And there are standard things we do. Not as if they're a grocery list of things you have to do. But really, it's very hard. Well, it's hard to cultivate that feeling without doing certain things. And impossible if you don't do certain things. If you don't struggle to follow the commandments, you'll never have a thanksgiving, thankful heart. You'll never have a holy and a pure and a soft and a warm heart. So your priorities have to be checked every day. Am I really aiming for the right thing here? Is this really the most important thing that I should think about? What is the most important thing I should do today and tomorrow and the next day? You have to check your priorities. And then the other is that if you don't pray, then God won't communicate with you. Prayer is not always easy. It's difficult. Whether it be standard times of prayer, like when you get up in the morning or in the evening, or just during the day. You know, I've written a lot and tried to tell you a lot about times to pray the Jesus Prayer. Pray for other people. It's very, very important. Speaking of praying for other people, if there is anybody you have anything against, whether it is now or whether it was 35 years ago, pray for that person. Make sure that when that person comes to your mind's eye, that there's no shrinking in your heart. You know what I'm talking about? When your heart just feels shriveled up, when you feel that anger, It's in the Psalms. It talks about it. When you feel that feeling inside that just doesn't feel good when you think about someone that's wronged you before. If you have that, then you must pray for that person. Everybody. Every single one, no matter what they did. Because that's a hindrance to your prayer and a hindrance to you becoming holy. If you refuse to fast, it would be very difficult for you to obtain this feeling of thanksgiving and gratitude in your soul. Because fasting is really anti-indulgence. And we are indulgent people. We indulge ourselves with comfort, with entertainment, with thoughts, with plans. We indulge ourselves constantly. And fasting is that antidote to it. It is where we are exerting self-control with God helping us. And not just self-control where we decide what to do, because then there's indulgence in that. There's just, fasting has a great power if we are just obedient. Say, I'm going to fast like the church teaches me to fast. Now, if you cannot fast in that way, then talk to me. Talk to your confessor. Do something you can do, but don't do nothing. Because the reason you must fast is so that your spirit becomes warm and open to God and becomes where it can see holiness and feel it. You know, most of you probably, one of my favorite gospel passages about the Gergesenes, right? They saw holiness, but they didn't see it. Why didn't they see it? Because they were distracted by all the things in their life. What a terrible tragedy to have holiness among them, to have the God-man who could heal them, and they didn't know it. We shouldn't be like that. So these things that I'm telling you about, the fasting and the prayer and the praying for your enemies, are so critical to start to give you a perspective and to have God's grace flood into your heart. Now, God's grace is all around us, of course. God's grace is like the rain. The rain falls everywhere, on the good and on the evil. But the rain, when it falls upon hard ground, just goes to soft ground. It finds somewhere else to go to. So if we don't have our heart, our soul prepared for this rain, then we will not absorb it. And we won't have the heart that this leper had of thanksgiving. So don't look at this gospel only in terms of, okay, yes, one of the virtues is I should always give thanks. No, that's not what the gospel's saying. It's what was inside this man that spurred him to give thanks, that the Lord is praising. And that's the stuff we need. We'll only have it with effort, with prayer, with fasting, also with the attendance of the services. Long services too sometimes. Very important. And very helpful to the soul. Kind of softens us up and gives us, prepares the ground for the grace of God to fall upon it. All these things are very important. May God help us to have the heart of this man. But it won't come just by wishing for it to be true. It won't come by admiring him. It will come by begging God to help you and doing whatever you can. If you can fast, fast. If you cannot fast, then fast in some way. If you can pray, pray. If you don't pray very well, then try to pray a little better. Not a lot better yet, but a little. And eventually, more and more. This is how we will develop the heart that truly gives thanks to God, as this leper has. And I tell you, without a heart like this, you can't be saved. Because a hard heart doesn't know God. A hard heart sees God among him and tells him to leave. A hard heart does not give thanks to God, no matter how many times the words thank you are said. Let's be like this man. Let's work at being like this man. I mean,